Class, let's take up now the changes in leadership paradigm. I'm going to give you the introduction to that, and I'm going to elaborate on it from experience. The environment and culture in which we are called to minister is rapidly changing. How many agree with that? I mean, we're in a time now that you better have some insight and you better have some anointing if you're going to guide God's people. And I want that anointing or endorsement to come on you right now in the name of Jesus. Everyone sitting under this class, I impart to you an anointing that will instruct you and help you to flow in deeper dimension and deeper understanding of the power of God. I don't want you to just waste your time coming to school with literature and taking tests. I want something to happen to your life. Everything is rapidly changing. It is in this changing environment that a new dimension of leadership is desperately needed. And that's what I want to come out of this school. I want your dimension to change. I want your dimension to change in the spirit. It needs a leadership that cannot be dominated and fashioned by the environment. Ooh, you will not be dominated or fashioned another day in your life by the environment, because as an apostle of God, as a prophet of God, I'm speaking over you in this session. You will not be dominated again in your life. You will have the answer. You will have the power. You will have the love. You will have the victory you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead would operate in your life and give you resurrection power that you can stop every violation at this hour in your life, in your family, in your body, in your finances. Receive that. I speak over you. The wave of wherever you're sitting now are changing right now. I feel an unction from the Holy Ghost. And in different times, those who think they're perfect, erase them out of your life. We're all training. We're growing to deeper dimension. Yield to the Spirit of God. Your dimension of leadership will be strong, and many will be looking for you. Because we need a leadership that cannot be dominated or fashioned by the environment. Now, I always was radical. I guess you can call it radical in the spirit. Because I would leave. I left Madison Square Garden. My two sons in the car with me. And the chauffeur's driving. And I heard the Spirit of God say, I'm preaching in Madison Square Garden. Spirit of God said, your time up here. My time is up. I couldn't preach no more the next year. You see, but there was a growth and a development that God wanted to get in my life. I wasn't going to get it in Madison Square Garden. I had to separate myself. I separated from other strong position that I was in. I found out that I had to be separated in order to walk into what God wanted me to walk in. Because the only level you can go to is the level where you are. And so you have to almost, I don't know if this is a word, get in a levelless position where there's no level. And that's what God did. So I want you to be in a position, one of the instructors is going to say something, that you will never be dominated and fashioned by the world system or by organized religion. These men and women must not be product of their environment, but vessels made and fashioned by God's grace and power. Now listen to this. Environment. Environment. What type of environment are you in? We're not talking about the environment. We want to erase the environment per se and cause you to operate fashion in God's grace and power. That's one of the secret of my ministry. God, I need grace. I need power. I need to be in the presence of God. I need God talking to me. I need direction from the Holy Spirit. I place that on your life tonight. Receive that. Listen very carefully. It may sound regular, but it's powerful. These emerging leadership are renewed with kingdom thought pattern. Kingdom thought pattern. In other words, you know the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17, what it says. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Kingdom thought pattern. In other words, now here's where you're going to get scared at. You got to think like a king for him. His kingdom rule wherever you are through you. There's kingdom concept and values. Kingdom thought pattern. You got that? Kingdom thought pattern. There's kingdom concept and values. Are there source of strength for daily living? Daily living. Not Sunday. Not at a revival. But daily living. Riding your bicycle. Taking a walk. You still, your priority is kingdom value. When he says seek ye first the kingdom of God, he don't mean just seeking something, he means being it. Let the kingdom of God always be present with you. For this reason, they are not, come on class, not manipulated by man, nor do they become paralyzed by fear of failure or defeat. Ooh, I hope you're hearing this. By kingdom concept and kingdom value, you will not be manipulated by man, nor will you become paralyzed by fear of failure or defeat. Now, I don't have failure and defeat never crossed my mind. It's impossible to fail. It's impossible to be defeated when you are aiming, what I said, aiming to submit to the plan and the will of God all the time. See, all the time. If I'm sitting down eating, I don't care what it is, where I am, I'm always listening. What's the next move? What do you want me to do? Now, people who don't understand that feel sorry for you because they say they're having a good time. And I heard the word jackass. I heard, you know, when you try to compare spiritual life with physical life, you plumb stupid. You plumb stupid. Plumb stupid. Plumb stupid. All right. So man, fear, failure, or defeat is out of your life. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that when you got revelation, when you attach to God's kingdom, to Jesus, to the cross, to the kingdom properly, your infirmities, as the Apostle Paul says, will release the glory of God in your life. Not your strength. You recognize, I can't do this from a natural standpoint, but I trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And who will direct your path? He will direct your path. So, the manipulation of man must be stopped. You must be able to hear God clearer than you're hearing a man. If God not coming through the man or through the woman, don't pay him no mind. Now, when you, and as an apostle, this is the type of life I'm living. So I'm preaching my life. I'm preaching a life that I'm not manipulated by man. They've tried before. I'm not paralyzed by fear, failure or defeat. No such thing on the agenda. Because I trust God. Now, when you get to this point in life and this value of life, this type of leadership draws spiritual resources from heaven and live by God's grace. Draw spiritual resources from heaven, this type of ministry, and live by God's grace. Watch that, class. Breaking the limitations of their own inadequacies and weaknesses. The Apostle Paul tried to get that over to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You need to read it. Try to get it over to us. You know, a man was caught up in the third heaven. You don't know whether it's in the body or in the spirit. You don't know. He's talking about himself. Then he says, I glory in my infirmity. Even though Paul, a man of great revelation, great anointing, one of the most powerful apostles that ever lived, but yet he yielded to the Holy Spirit. So when you, beyond the manipulation of man, as an apostle, I had to go through that. Some of the largest ministries in the world. I love them yet, and they love me. But I had to, if I was going to get to this point where I'm able to be in the position I'm in now to train you and have nobody hand on my shoulder. Because a lot of the men I was under, I was over. Didn't know it. They didn't know it. But God has sent me to them for a reason. With the, the vast maturity he had placed in my life over the years. Because I started 50 years ago. And I can't tell you how many hours a day I spend with the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about like the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about my infirmity. I'm glorying in my infirmity, how much I need him. And then Paul starts talking about his infirmity. And he says he glories in his infirmity. And that's why God used Paul so much, the Apostle Paul. It said Apostle Paul. When you're reading the letter, you see Corinthians, Hebrews, all those books written by him. Let me get back to the spiritual resources from heaven. Write that down. Spiritual resources from heaven. Write this down. Live by God's grace. Write this down. Breaking the limitation of your own inadequacies and weaknesses. Whew. And put 2 Corinthians 12 with that and you see what happened, how an apostolic leader did these things. This type of leadership anointing, write it down, centered on the prophetic apostolic. Now, I got to go apostolic, prophetic, and pastoral. You don't put the prophetic above the apostolic. They're prophetic in perspective, or they're apostolic in teaching, functioning in the church government. They're prophetic in perspective and in purpose. They're pastoral in their dealing with the need of men, in their compassion for the soul of men. They are evangelists. Now, evangelists, let me put this in order now. So we're talking about the apostle, we're talking about the prophet, we're talking about the pastor. Let me put it in divine order. They are apostolic in teaching, function, and in church government. That's the way, number one. Secondly, they are prophetic in perspective and in purpose. And thirdly, they are pastoral in their dealing with the needs of men and in their compassion for the soul of men. They are evangelistic. And see, getting that thing in divine order, it's been out of order so long and so much disrespect. Let's talk a few minutes about reason for paradigm shift in leadership. Why it had to be shifted? Well, we need Jesus, the forerunner, to lead us, not men. And under that, I'm going to show you something. I want you to hear this now, class. We have not walked this way before. This culture structure, this attack on holiness, all these things going on. We have not walked this way before. Not to the dimension. It comes to a dimension now, man, that they're trying to be equal with Jesus. The future is evolving so quickly, they will take a perceptive leadership to keep abreast with their changes and find an apostolic strategy to be effective in it. I smell food. My cooking back there, it almost made me want to close out. The future is evolving so quickly they will take a perceptive leadership to keep abreast with its changes. Now, know the changes going on. And find an, watch now, apostolic strategy to be effective in it. Only one thing is certain. God has been there in the future, and he knows what it would be like. So, in other words, somebody in tune with God would be able to walk through this thing. The church, I tell you what, I'm going to make a statement in this class. The church is now dependent on people like you. Students who are preparing for the changes, going to be wearing an apostolic anointing, not going to be controlled by the system. Other words like this, those who know him and walk with him are qualified to lead his generation in his divine order. You can't take the Bible, you can't take Ephesians 4:11 and jerk it around and put it like you want because you think you're so great. No, you got to follow the divine pattern. So Ephesians 4:11 is a divine pattern. Ephesians 4:12 is a divine pattern. Ephesians 4:16 is a divine pattern. So here's, we need to be guided in the battle. There's a battle going on. So let me give you some points on how to be guided. Or why we need to be. The heat of the battle is intensifying. Disrespect, disorder, marches, laws are being signed to kill babies, etc. Somebody got to be anointed to know how to deal with this. We need a Jeremiah. We need an Apostle Paul. The demonic onslaught on the Christian church are getting more pronounced. You know it. We need a strong leadership that is able to stand in the heat of the battle and wage good warfare faith. Now, when COVID came out, a lot of authority was being taken over the church. It shouldn't have been. Now, I yield and preach from home for a while. I preach from here without a congregation for a while because I felt fear in some of the people. But I'm training them now that if something else come up, they're not going to have that kind of fear. We need to learn how to build in the spirit. What I said, build in the spirit and effectively pull down strongholds of the enemy. Now that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Pull down the strongholds. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Need to pull them strongholds down. You follow me? Don't have nothing under here. I've been dropped this thing on the ground. All right, guys, we need to learn how to build. What's one of the best way to build in the spirit? Answer me right quick. Give me a scripture. Jude 20. Building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You should train yourself, rise yourself up to pray an hour in the spirit. Most people are not doing it. Most men that I've studied behind who was real faithful, Kenneth Hagin, Fred Price, Kenny Copeland, they have prayed in the spirit. Schmidt Wiggleworth, I read behind him. And then, what is my man name, Montrell, who brought in the Pentecostal?
Seymour.
He's not mentioned more, but he brought it in. I'm a Seymour with money coming. I'm bringing the money. We'll bring the money in. This, because God chose who he wanted you. Jack Seymour, they'll talk about it, but they'll cut his name out. They don't want to talk about him too much. But God used that man to do it. I remember I was on the knees 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in another state. God said, tell them they're not going to steal what I gave you from you like they did from Seymour. So I'm divinely protective of money coming. That they're not just going to steal and use it any kind of way and then give it to somebody else when God have called us to do it. Just one of them things. So we need to learn how to build in the spirit effectively to pull down the stronghold of the enemy. We need the power to discern demonic activity. The wave of deception, manipulation, and witchcraft has already infiltrated the church life and government. Whoa! Listen, let me give you that again. The wave of deception, manipulation, get those words, witchcraft has already infiltrated the church life and government. Wow. Church split, liberalism, and disunity have taken away the spiritual strength of many churches because they're apostolic, not there, they're prophetic, not there. That divine order not there. Should a pastor supposed to be apostolic and prophetic? No, I didn't say he was an apostle. But he's supposed to be submitted to the apostolic and to the prophetic. And it come up on him. Without him calling himself an apostle. That's where we get trouble. You know, everybody want to be the top man. He can't do it. The rising of men and women who refuse to change. Who will resist any change in the church. You got people, they go, have become an increasingly important nation. Otherwise, if we're not going to sing like we used to sing and dance like we used to dance, I'm gone. Because it's a physical connection that they think is a spirit, is a mental connection that they think is a spiritual connection. A spiritual connection, now watch this, it's coming from my spirit. Carries a heavy word with it called submission. You cannot grow in the spirit if you're not willing to submit. All right? You can't. So a lot of times people just leave because they want what they want. These resistors are not allowing the church to move into apostolic and prophetic dimension, which God is releasing and restoring today. So look for it. If I got pastors on the line, look for it. You got some people gonna resist when you start changing. Now you gotta change in love. I talked to a pastor today, he said a lot of members was leaving. But you gotta watch how you handle it. You gotta handle it prayerfully, spiritually, you have to be led. You can't just see because people have been under this structure for so long and you come and they think you're a demon. But they know they're lacking power. They know they're still in the line, they're still financially, they're still just struggling from a job point of view. But when you got evidence in your life, then people begin to realize, I better listen. These resistors are not allowing the church to move in the prophetic an apostolic dimension, or the apostolic dimension of the prophetic, the order got it wrong, but it's apostolic, was God is releasing and restoring today. We need to stand up in righteousness. The time we're living in is a specific time of separation and judgment. Now, righteousness also is a very valuable insight here. I believe it's top of the line. Holiness, righteousness, and sanctification. You don't hear those words much, do you? Holiness, righteousness, and sanctification. They got to be in place. The time we're living in, the reason we need to stand in righteousness, the time we're living in is a specific time of separation and judgment. God is bringing a time of repentance and cleansing within his temple. We got to get all that junk out of here. He is purifying the sons of Levi. Look at Malachi 3:3. The spiritual leadership who will bear the Ark of the Covenant, who would minister unto him. Malachi 3:3. Let's see. Let's look at that. Hallelujah. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, class, I want to stay here a minute with you. And I want this over you. I want you to be purified. I want you to be sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything in your life that is not giving glory to God, I want the Holy Spirit to help you to get it out of your life. I want to read this verse again, because one of the things that I believed in over the years is holiness and living right. I believe in that. It all paid off. I want to read it to you again. I want you to look at that verse. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And he said, this is the reason, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. As I stand here to teach you tonight, it's I don't have nothing to block me. I don't have nothing to stop me. I don't have nothing for the Holy Ghost to have the whole brakes on when he want to tell me something. That's where I want you to be. It's a good life. I live my practice from the age of 25, and I'm 77 now, and I've been living that life since I got saved, got born again. So I bless you tonight. I bless you to yield to this purification, this sanctification, this righteousness. Heavenly Father, I thank you. The men and women that are included in this class tonight, that the instruction from the Holy Spirit, that is not by might nor by power, but is by your Spirit, that you will cleanse each one of us, men and women from all over the world, online. You give me this responsibility. They're given the respect to be students in this school. I pray that they share the cleansing and the separation, that they be proven and be promoted. I thank you right now. Malachi 3:3 is working on our lives in spiritual leadership, that they will bear the Ark of the Covenant, they minister in a clean position. Anoint each one under the sound of my voice. Not only the student, anoint all the instructors that are teaching in this school. We thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.